Thank you, Jonga Kandemir. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Monday, August 1st, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
War Veterans leader Douglas Mahia is released as police lock up two other top former freedom fighters for allegedly insulting President Mugabe.
Whilst we were holding our car rally in the suburb, we were attacked by some ZANU-PF militias. They tried to block the road using stones and tires.
20 MDCT youths are injured in skirmishes with suspected ZANU-PF supporters.
Mandela Washington Fellows converge in Washington, D.C. to wrap up the six-month United States program.
And ZANU-PF's plans to allocate tens to party youths angers Joyce Mujuru's Zimbabwe People First Party.
These stories and more coming up. Stay tuned.
More than 20 MDCT youths were brutally attacked by suspected ZANU-PF militia in Kambuzuma on Sunday at the launch of their My Zimbabwe campaign, leaving eight of them hospitalized. According to Bridget Nyandoro, who is the Deputy Information and Publicity Secretary for Harare Province Youth Assembly, they were first attacked in the morning when they were preparing for a rally. Nyandoro says they managed to repel the attackers as they outnumbered them. But the suspected ZANU-PF supporters regrouped after the rally, with reinforcements being bussed from Mbare, Machipisa in Highfield and Kuwadzana. Nyandoro tells reporter Jonga Kandemiri they could not report the attack to the police because some of the injured who had sought refuge at a local police station were briefly detained on allegations of sparking the attack.
We were in Kambuzuma yesterday where we were launching the hashtag My Zimbabwe campaign. So whilst we were holding our car rally in the suburb, we were attacked by some ZANU-PF militias. They tried to block the road using stones and tires. But fortunately, we were a large group and there were just a few of them. So we managed to defend ourselves and went ahead with our car rally. Afterwards, people went back to the venue where we were supposed to hold the rally, the campaign. We did everything smoothly, and afterwards, when people were going back to their respective homes, that's when they were attacked by people who have been brought in as a backup from places like Mbare, Machipisa, and Kuwadzana. So some of our members were badly injured, and we took them to the hospital.
Did you manage to report this incident to the police?
Unfortunately, we couldn't make a police report because some of our injured members had been detained by the police. The police had actually detained them, saying that they are the ones who were perpetrating violence, yet they were the victims. And we also got some unconfirmed reports or information that ZANU-PF had instructed actually the police to roam around the area and see to it that the ZANU-PF youths do what they needed to do without any hindrance. So there was heavy police presence, but they could not stop the attacks. So we felt it was not going to make any difference even if we were to open a police case.
Without reporting to the police, Ms. Nyandoro, how sure or certain are you that you were attacked by ZANU-PF people if there were no arrests made?
We are very sure and confident that these people were from ZANU-PF because whilst we were at the rally, our security team saw some combis that were coming in from Mbare, Kuwadzana and Machipisa. They guarded at Harare Province ZANU-PF chairperson's house there in Joshua Nkabuko area. They had a short meeting and regrouped at the chairperson's house.
And that was Bridget Nyandoro, Deputy Information and Publicity Secretary for Harare Province MDCT Youth Assembly. She was speaking with reporter Jonga Kandemiri.
The 2016 Mandela Washington Fellowship Presidential Summit kicked off in Washington, D.C. earlier today, with the Zimbabweans making a mark for themselves at the event. Our reporter Tatenda Gumbo has more.
Almost 1,000 young African leaders from 49 countries converged at the Omni Shoreham Hotel in Washington, D.C. A call to order by the U.S. Assistant Secretary of State of Educational and Cultural Affairs, Evan Ryan, immediately set the room abuzz.
I am honored to officially open the 2016 Mandela Washington Fellowship Presidential Summit.
The presidential summit began with the Congressional Forum on Investing in the Next Generation of Africa, where a mention of Pastor Ivan Mawarire's hashtag This Flag Movement by panelist Natasha Kimani of Kenya drew an applause from Zimbabweans in the crowd.
Africa is has the largest Twitter users, and Africans have used Twitter to change policy, to influence government. You have recently in South Africa, fees must fall. Zimbabwe about the flag. Young people are the voice of Africa right now. And what is happening, our governments are listening to us, whether or not they want to.
Responding to an audience question from a Togolese fellow on a young American leaders exchange program, U.S. Congressman Chris Coons commended Zimbabwean businessman Strive Masiwa's recent initiative to send young American leaders to African countries. In breakout sessions tagged The Idea Storm, Fellows Ignite Talks, a number of Zimbabweans, including Golden Maunganidze, journalism lecturer and editor of community newspaper Tell Zim, spoke on ways to ignite Africa. Speaking in his session, Maunganidze said African voices need to be amplified.
I wanted the people in the rural community to tell their own stories. I redefined journalism to help the community to speak for themselves. Through this platform, I help the people in the southern part of Zimbabwe to advocate for quality service delivery, democracy, good governance, and better education. I have since achieved more than what I imagined.
Zimbabwean fellow Tiara Gendi, an advocate for LGBTQ community, says his experience in the United States has been enlightening thus far. Faith Ndlovu, who works for the Voluntary Media Council of Zimbabwe, said she's expecting more to come for the remainder of the program this week. The fellows will remain in Washington, D.C. until Thursday, leading to a town hall meeting with the United States President Barack Obama, scheduled for Wednesday. Reporting for Studio 7, this is Tatenda Gumbo. You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 Metum Wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com.
You can also text us at 001-202-465-0318.
We now take a look at regional and international news. U.S. Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump's feud with the parents of a fallen Muslim American soldier erupted again today. Arizona Senator John McCain, a prisoner of war in Vietnam in the 1960s, and the losing Republican presidential candidate in 2008, rebuked Trump for disparaging Kazia Khan and his wife Ghazala as they remembered their son at last week's Democratic National Convention. The son was killed by a suicide bomber in 2004 in Iraq. The Khans endorsed Trump's Democratic opponent, Hillary Clinton, and have continued to speak out against Trump in television interviews.
The U.S. military has conducted airstrikes against Islamic State targets in Libya, the Pentagon said today.
A member of South Africa's opposition Democratic Alliance said the President Jacob Zuma's rhetoric ahead of Wednesday's municipal elections is a sign of desperation that the once mighty African National Congress may be losing ground to the opposition in terms of popularity. President Zuma on Sunday admonished South Africans to vote for the ANC so that the party will continue to improve their lives.
And hundreds of demonstrators gathered in downtown Rio de Janeiro and Sao Paulo on Sunday, protesting against the government of interim President Michel Temer, who is replacing suspended President Dilma Rousseff. Zimbabwe National Liberation War Veterans Association General Secretary Victor Matemadanda was arrested today at the Harare Magistrates Court, where his organization's national spokesperson, Douglas Mahia, was being arraigned on charges of insulting or undermining the authority of President Robert Mugabe. Thomas Chiripasi was there and filed this report.
Matemadanda was arrested by heavily armed police details as he walked out of the courtroom where Mahia's case was being heard. Police officers whisked him away to some offices at the court building while ordering all the people, mainly war veterans and civil society activists, who were getting out of the courtroom to leave the place. At the entrance of the court building, some war veterans and civil society activists sang revolutionary songs in solidarity with Matemadanda and Mahia, while some were crying. The police details then used the prisoner's entrance at the back of the court building to exit with Matemadanda and sped off as the singing former freedom fighters were approaching the vehicle that was being used by the police to whisk Matemadanda away. Matemadanda's attorney, Beatrice Mutetwa, told Studio 7 by phone from Harare Central Police Station that her client was being held at the station, but no formal charges had been leveled against her client. Francis Nando, another top war veteran, was also arrested today. There were no details of his whereabouts. He is linked to a damning communique issued by war veterans last week, which condemned President Mugabe for running down Zimbabwe. At the same time, Magistrate Vakai Chikwekwe granted Mahia a $300 bail and ordered him to report twice per week at Harare Central Police Station's Law and Order Division until the matter was finalized. Mahia is being accused of insulting or undermining Mr. Mugabe through a communique issued by the War Veterans Body last month, calling on the head of state to address key issues affecting ordinary Zimbabweans. After the magistrate delivered his ruling, State Counsel Tapiwa Kasema applied for the suspension of Magistrate Chikwekwe's ruling for 48 hours, pending an appeal of the judgment by the state, but this was opposed by Bahia's attorney, Harrison Nkomo, who argued that the judge's decision could not be suspended without giving concrete reasons or without the prosecutor general filing a formal application. The magistrate agreed with the defense and ordered Mahia's immediate release. Nkomo welcomed the magistrate's decision. Nkomo gave notice in court that at the next remand, on the 12th of August, the defense would be applying for Mahia's refusal of further remand, saying the state papers in their current form do not disclose an offense. Meanwhile, War Veterans Chairperson Chris Muchangwa, who was also at the courts, criticized the arrest of former freedom fighters.
It said that these heroic fighters, the best army Africa has ever produced in modern times, 4 decades down the line, they are just being persecuted by those who were war deserters, those who were war cowards. Some of them were, was at school with them. They didn't go to war, but they are now very powerful, and they are part of the harassment of the war veterans. And some young people who say their mothers and fathers fought for them. If we fought with his mother and father when he was in the womb, That's, you know, it's very sad that these people see it upon themselves, and to abuse also the most powerful office in the land.
Also at the courts was former vice president and leader of the Zimbabwe People First Party, Joyce Mujuru, who echoed Muchangwa's sentiments.
It's just unfair. That's why you have heard, you have seen people, they are trying to show that the way things are going is not the correct way. And I think I've been talking about it, that we don't have to show any hard-handedness, but that people have to be giving each other time to discuss issues when people don't agree.
Several human rights activists and politicians, including one of MDCT leader Morgan Tsvangirai's deputies, Nelson Chamisa, attended the court session today. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
ZANU-PF is set to allocate residential stands for its party supporters on Saturday, while former Vice President Joyce Mujuru's party, Zimbabwe People First, will be holding a rally at Gadzema Grounds, Chinoyi, Mashonaland West Province. ZANU-PF is also planning to hold a rally on the same day near Gadzema Grounds. Zimbabwe People First supporters say this is a recipe for political violence. Our reporter Arthur Chigoriwa has more details from Chinoyi.
Zimbabwe People First, or ZIMPF, provincial chairperson Marian Chombo told Studio 7 that the allocation of stands to poor ZANU-PF youth and the holding of a rally on the same day and near the venue of Joyce Mujuru's party rally won't stop them from campaigning in Mashonaland West Province. She said ZANU-PF's proposal to hold their rally only 200 meters away from the Zimbabwe People's First rally on Saturday may result in clashes between the two parties.
A recipe for disaster, and the police should not have allowed that one. ZANU-PF is not obeying the law in this regard.
Mrs. Chombo said it is surprising that ZANU-PF wants to allocate stands to local youth who won't be able to build houses due to lack of funds. Mrs. Chombo, who was once married to Home Affairs Minister Ignatius Chombo, accused her former husband of allegedly grabbing land in most urban areas in the same manner his party is now doing in Chinoyi, Harare, and other cities.
From the record, you can tell that Chombo is a massive. Well, he has literally taken all the stands from all the local boards, all the local authorities.
Mr. Chombo was not reachable for comment. ZIMPF Chinoyi youth leader Prosper Gavanga, a former ZANU-PF member, said it is clear that Chombo and ZANU-PF political commissar Sylvia Kasukuere want to wound weak the youth like what they did in 2013 general elections when he was the campaigning manager of ZANU-PF Chinoyi losing candidate Philip Chiangwa. Gavanga said they were promised stands, but all that has not yet been fulfilled by the ruling party.
I challenge all youth, especially those in ZANU-PF, to ask for land that they were promised in 2013 election by Chiangwa and Chombo. I know this because I was part of the campaign team, that these lands are for fake.
Chiangwa confirmed that they promised the youth stands, but they have not been delivered because Chinoyi Council has not serviced them.
Chombo came with me to Shepperton, right? Once that bush, proper town planning and so forth. At that meeting, I remember him then saying, we can allocate. That's where the issue is hanging.
ZANU-PF Chinoyi youth leader Tapiwa Chitate said they are going ahead with their plans of giving youth residential stands at a farm in Chinoyi and holding a rally on Saturday. But Chinoyi Mayor Chester Michaels professed ignorance over the stands, saying he heard that it was discussed at the weekend during a ZANU-PF meeting. Political analysts say ZANU-PF's move is designed to disturb its opponents at a time the ruling party is failing to explain some of its proposed policies to revive the economy outlined in the run-up to the 2013 general elections. Reporting for Studio 7 in Chinoyi, this is Arthur Chigoriwa.
Some women in Masvingo province have expressed dismay over the Minister of Health's move to withhold birth records of newly born kids in an attempt to force mothers to pay maternity fees of up to almost $85 per child delivery. They say some parents end up having difficulties in enrolling their children at school due to lack of proper birth records. Reporter Gandri Maramba has more.
Some of the women said the situation has been worsened by crippling cash shortage in Zimbabwe. Sophia Mtando of Mcheke Sebab said the government is violating the rights of mothers who are supposed to have access to health as stipulated in Zimbabwe's constitution.
As women, we are really facing difficulties to access the right to health, especially on maternity fees. We can't afford paying user fees because there's cash crisis. We can't access cash from the banks. Most of the women are delivering in their homes because they can't access cash. It's really difficult if you see the paydays are being postponed.
Women pay maternity fees of about $83 at Masvingo General Hospital, the province referral health institution. Most women say the fee is too high and government should revise it, as it has always promised women free maternity services in public health institutions. Another local woman, Tsitsinga Mera, said the government should stop withholding kids' birth records if mothers fail to pay maternity fees.
This is a very bad practice. As women, we think this must be stopped as early as possible. The ministry or the hospital institution must not charge us money or withhold the birth record, because that birth record is the entry to my child. Without that birth record, the child might not be able to get a birth certificate. And if you don't have a birth certificate, you will not have the ID also. So I think that practice must be stopped.
Other women are detained at public health institutions after giving birth and failed to pay maternity fees. Joyce Mungu, local chairperson of Women's Coalition in Zimbabwe, demanded that central government should intervene to stop all these practices.
As Women's Coalition, we are not happy because women are being detained because they fail to pay their user fees at the hospitals. They are very high. Some of them, they cannot afford to pay the fees. And at the end of the day, they cannot afford to get the birth record of their children so that they can give their birth certificates. So we want to urge the government to help us as women so that women can give birth free.
A local health expert, David Komba, said the practice by the health institution was illegal.
The practice is a violation of constitutionally provided for rights to affordable and accessible basic health services in terms of Chapter 3, Subsection 29. The withholding of birth records is also blatantly illegal, as it withdraws the right to birth certificates as provided for by Section 35.3 of the same chapter. It is ironic that it is being done by public health institutions, which must be at the forefront of complying with the national constitution.
Section 29 of the constitution stipulates that the state must take all practical measures to ensure the provision of basic, accessible and adequate health services throughout Zimbabwe. It also clearly stipulates that the state must take appropriate, fair and reasonable measures to ensure that no person is refused emergency medical treatment at any health institution. Masvingo Provincial Medical Director Dr. Amedas Shamu said he has not received such reports in his office and promised to investigate the matter. Reporting for Studio 7 in Masvingo, this is Gandhi Maramba.
And in sports news, the Mighty Warriors are ready to take on Germany in Group F of the Olympic Games. Our reporter Michael Cariati tells us more.
The Mighty Warriors of Zimbabwe are expected to kick off Team Zimbabwe's campaign at the Olympic Games in Rio de Janeiro on Wednesday against European champions Germany at the Corinthians Arena in Sao Paulo. Shadrack Mhlawuri and his squad say they will do their best against the strong Germans. Zimbabwe is in the same group with Canada and Australia. The Mighty Warriors were one of the 3-0 in a friendly match against China last Wednesday. In local soccer news, FC Platinum have opened a 4-point lead at the top of the Casolaga Premier Soccer League standings. Kugona kunenge kudada are 4 points clear of Capes United after a 1-0 win over Bloor City in a weekend in which only 7 goals were scored in 8 matches. Only 4 teams, FC Platinum, Capes United, Chicken Inn and Wange, won their matches, with the other 4 matches ending in draws. FC Platinum had to leave it too late until the 89th minute when Rodo Chinyengetere struck for the maximum points, which have seen them shoot to 36 points ahead of Capes United, who moved to 32 points after a 1-0 win over Highlanders. However, Kugona kunenge kudada coach Norman Mapeza is refusing to be excited about their current standings.
It's not about us being on top of the lot, but the most important thing is to keep collecting as many points as we can along the way. Because at the end of the day, what's more important is the wins we're going to get coming of the season. That's the most important thing. There's a lot of pressure at the top, but for me, it's a positive pressure because we're getting results.
The Green Machine dominated Highlanders, and the talking point after the match was the too many chances which Capes United missed, one of which was by Dominic Chungwa with an open goal and the penalty miss by Devon Jaffa. Assistant coach Mark Mate says although they could have won by a higher scoring margin, they are still happy with the 3 points.
We scored today, wouldn't control the game the way we would have wanted, but look, we got the chance that we got and we put it away and we got the all important 3 points. But look, overall, we performed that well the way we wanted. But at the end of the day, what is key is the 3 points and winning, and we're happy about that.
Highlanders coach Errol Agbaye admitted his team played badly.
Actually, we played not very well football today. You see that we're missing our style of football, we're missing too much players. And that means if you play with substitution, sometimes you get lucky, sometimes you get bad. And today we are doing very bad.
In 6 league and cup matches, Highlanders have scored only goal in regulation time, and Agbaye is worried.
Today you can lucky but 1-0.
Dynamos all but surrendered their title chase after a goalless draw at ZPC Kariba. The 2 points dropped have seen Dimbare go 10 points behind FC Platinum. Meanwhile, the Zimbabwe cricket national team's losing streak continued after the Chevrons fell by the wayside by an innings and 117 runs to New Zealand in the first of their 2 tests at Queen's Sports Club. Although Sean Williams hit a splendid 119 runs with 21 fours and Craig Evan on 50 for a total of 164 in their first innings, they were dismissed for 295 for 6 in 79 overs. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Cariati.
Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. today, when our hosts Blessing Zulu and Gibbs Dube will be talking with listeners about the widening rift between war veterans and President Robert Mugabe as more former freedom fighters are arrested.
If you wish to join us, you can send a WhatsApp on our number 001-202-465-0318. That number again, 001-202-465-0318.
And now to recap today's top stories.
War Veterans leader Douglas Mahia is released as police lock up 2 other top former freedom fighters.
20 MDCT youths are injured in skirmishes with suspected ZANU-PF supporters.
And Mandela Washington Fellows converge in Washington, D.C. to wrap up the 6-month United States program.
That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Chris Gande in Washington.
And I'm Marvelous Mplanga Nyahuye, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.